words. Mm-hmm. And Lord, would you give us hearts to receive and to understand mm-hmm. what he wants to impart today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so let's don't transition.
Come on.
No, I'm just the next testimony.
Let's go.
Let's just don't transition because it was so good. Can you hear what God's saying?
Yeah.
Next week, by the way, we're going to have Ben Atkinson here.
Woo!
Ben, if you don't know Ben, he lives over in Gardner, but he's a prophetic guy.
Yeah.
He's always brought us, he's come once a year for about 3 years now, and just always brought us a really now word for our church. And he kind of is discipled and raised up by Lou Engle. How many people know of Lou Engle and who that is? A few people. So anyway, really good guy. I think you'll really enjoy that. But we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're saying here this morning. Because everything that's been said and even testified about is really the heart of God. Because here's what I want you to know, that in the beginning, God had you in mind.
Come on.
Have you ever thought about this? Why was I born when I was born? Like, why am I on the earth in 2023? What is it about me and God's plan for what he had planned from the beginning that has to do with anything? Is it just happenstance? Is it just coincidence? The Lord says, no, I have a plan. Because in the beginning, God created. Did you hear that? In the beginning, God created. Everybody say created. Creativity is his nature. He's not just the creator. He is creative. And that creativity lives on from him into you because you have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Now, do you see how this is connected to the testimonies?
Yeah.
New ways of doing things, new systems.
Come on.
New educational systems, Dr. Newsom.
Come on.
New ideas in the real estate market.
Yeah.
God wants to give you new ideas and new thoughts about his plans on the earth for wherever you are. Now, I've often thought, oh man, maybe God's going to give me the new energy source that the world needs. I mean, God can do anything. It could happen. It's just not likely because that's not my lane. But maybe God has a new thing for the church. Somebody hold up your wineskin. That's what those represent, really. By the way, in case you're wondering, it's just a little representative thing. That God has a new wineskin for you.
Amen.
He has a new thing in the earth. So in my role in the church and in the nations and in the state of North Carolina even, he has a new church plant for Wilmington, by the way, that we're going to hear about on February the 5th with our pastors coming. God's got some new ideas. And so what I've really been trying to tap into are those new things.
Yeah.
Now, in the process, I've realized in order to completely hear clearly, I need a detox.
Come on.
Yes. Has anybody ever done one of those cleanses? Yeah. Like one of those? I haven't, but I'm just, you know, those physical cleanses where you like, you drink some weird stuff or you eat something. And yeah, detox. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody knows about this.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah and I have felt like we need a detox for our thoughts and emotions. And so we've been walking through this little process of detoxing, and the things that we're finding out are phenomenal. Yet, I feel like I'm still in the process. Don't worry, I'm not going to have a breakdown on you or anything like that this morning. But the process of God wanting to detox away from our minds and our emotions, thoughts, so that we can come more into alignment with his.
Come on.
It's actually been really fun.
Yeah.
But here's what I want to tell you this morning, and it's sort of just an alert system. You know how those things will start beeping?
Yeah.
Alert, alert, alert. The enemy doesn't want this to happen. The enemy, if he can't keep us out of heaven, he's going to keep us confused.
Wow.
He's going to keep us trying to do things in a world system kind of way. In the way that we've always done it. In a human way, in a flesh way, in a pattern of thinking. And it's not always bad, but it's just not the best.
And God says, I have something better in plan for you.
Yes.
My people, because you know why? Because he's a father.
He's a father.
And he loves you because he loves you because that's who he is.
Yeah.
And so he wants to detox these things. But there's an adversary, Satan, the enemy, the old wily devil, right? That's going to come. Does anybody ever wake up with feelings of dread? Does anybody, has anybody ever waked up with like last night I slept fantastic until about 5:45 and all of a sudden I was awakened with just like anxiousness. It was unexplainable. Honestly, I don't know why. It just, am I the only one? Oh, okay. There's some other people in the room that have had this. You know what I'm talking about? Like, where does that come? And Sarah said to me, she goes, detox. You see, sometimes in this detox process that the Lord is taking you through, there's going to be these things. And one of the things that Jesus constantly warned us about and his followers in the day was a spirit of heaviness. You see, and as Tracy was prophesying and testifying into these imaginations, this is what it reminded me of. And you don't have to go here, but in Matthew 23, he spoke to the multitude and his disciples, so everybody around, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees, the spirit of religion, okay,
yeah,
it sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. Have you ever said to your kids, do what I say, not what I do? In a not so good moment. You don't want that, but that's how every parent feels sometimes. Like, I know what the right thing to do, even if I'm not doing it. Well, this is basically what the spirit of religion does to us spiritually. It's a spirit of heaviness that tries to come on us and say, just do, 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 do.
Come on.
Wow.
But God's saying, no, before you do, you need to be.
Come on.
You need to be and you need to know who I am. And who I've made you to be in me,
yeah,
then you can properly do.
Yeah.
Before they bind heavy burdens, Jesus went on, hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them even with one of their fingers. The spirit of heaviness is a religious spirit. It's a demonic spirit to limit joy. Do you like to be happy?
Yeah.
Who likes joy? We're talking about new wine this morning.
Amen.
But the spirit of anxiety and heaviness and works. I read this thing recently that says one of the heaviest things to say is you must always do your best. Like, wait a second. Mama told me that. No, no offense, Mom. That is true. Always do your best. Yeah. But let me ask you a question. Is it possible for everyone to always do their best?
No.
No, it's not. And actually, then how do you feel when you don't do your best?
Really bad.
Is that the Father's heart for you?
No.
Oh, see, this is a different thought to me. I'm not advocating not trying and not doing our best. I'm saying when we come under this yoke to do,
come on,
that's not who you are, Jamar. You got to be. You got to be before you do. And the Lord wants to take us into his attributes and let us know who God, our loving Father, really is in order that we might know who we are in him so that we do. See, because this is a year of multiplication. I think there's a lot of doing that's going to happen this year. But it's important that in before and in the doing, it's centered in identity. It's centered in being a son and daughter in Christ. Because let me remind you, this is 2 weeks ago. From the beginning, God the Father had in his mind, in love, to have sons and daughters.
Yes.
That is the foundation stone of our faith. That is the corner of our theology. Everything rises and falls on that. In Genesis 1, God created everything, including humans, and said, and it is very good.
Yeah.
And then the serpent sneaks in. Adam and Eve fell. We fall into sin. But before original sin, there was original love. Before original sin, he blessed them and said it was very good. See, this is the foundation. This is the original intent of who we are in God. who we are in Him. I believe He wants this for His church.
Yes, come on.
But in order to see that and even do these new creative things, we have to understand who we are. We have to be. We have to be solidified. I was thinking even about, well, here's the remedy. It's the, what was that phrase about grace? The authority, not authority of grace. The reign of grace that we were singing. It's the reign of grace. What is grace? It's empowering.
Come on.
It's a free gift. It's the Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. That's grace. It's not I. It's not me always doing my best.
Yeah, come on.
It's Christ raising up in me and allowing me to rule and reign with Him in joy, in effectiveness, in favor. It's speaking into those problems at work and saying, this is where God is leading. This is what the Spirit of Christ wants to say.
Yes.
This is the new innovation for what He has for us now. No matter where you are, a student, a parent, you're working, whatever, it all applies.
Yeah.
You see, and there's no division between the sacred and the secular.
Come on, Matthew.
You're all ministers of the gospel wherever you are.
Yeah.
There's something God wants to release in the earth that flows through us. Because in the beginning, everybody say in the beginning.
In the beginning.
In the beginning, He created sons and daughters. And it's our time now. It's our time. I mean, on Martin Luther King weekend, think about a new idea. A new idea. That Dr. King had. And that movement. It took a new idea. It took a new thought, right? That's what God is giving us. Is new thoughts from His heart. And I was thinking about that Psalm 23. I think Michael referenced that. And a few weeks ago, the Lord was just saying, Psalm 23 for 2023. You know, and that's kind of floating out there. And I was thinking about... Well, I wrote this down. When you can understand what a shepherd is, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the theme of Psalm 23. You can interpret what a shepherd does as represented in the psalm. For example, a shepherd, what they lead and they herd, right? Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You see, when you know what the shepherd does, then even in evil and dark circumstances and situation, you know He is with you.
Come on.
A shepherd mends and a shepherd protects. Another phrase from the psalm is, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. You see, David understood these eternal truths that we're looking at here and more that I'm about to mention. That enabled him to understand his father like nobody else in his generation. You see, because the prophet Jesse lined all six of his brothers up, you know, looking for God's anointed to be king. Nope, that's not it. Nope, not that one. Nope, not that one. Turns to the dad, Jesse, and says, do you have any more? Are there any? Well, there is David out there. How insecure would you feel if you were the youngest of seven boys? And the, you know, everybody else got lined up and you're just out there scooping poop. You know, you're just out there. I mean, how insecure would you feel in the natural as a natural son of parents, of a dad? And that's the way he treated you. What's the other explanation? David saw something nobody else could.
Come on.
He saw into the heavenly realm of who his daddy is. He knew his daddy wasn't just Jesse. His daddy was a father in heaven. I also felt that, are you guys all right?
Is this
okay? One of the things I'm learning about what God is like, well, in this theme is, here's what I've learned, is being always precedes doing. If you don't understand who God is, you'll never understand what God does. Sometimes I'm really confused, or we're really confused about, well, what is God, what He's doing? But I realize the reason that's confusing is because I don't know completely who He is. Because everything that He does is out of the nature of who He is as a father. For example, God is love, right? 1 John. Everything that God does comes out of who God is. God is love. So even God's wrath or anger is actually a product of his love. Remember when Jesus got angry about the thieves in the temple selling stuff and making a profit? And we know Jesus never sinned. So there was a righteous anger that rose up in him. Let me ask you, was that the anger of God? Yes. But why was it? Because he loved so much. He could not allow for the spirit of deception and thievery in the temple to steal from God's children. No, let that never happen. And so he goes in with the heart of a loving father. And of course, it goes without saying, but I'll say it. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything. If you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just as you read those this year, whenever you're in that, go and ask the Holy Spirit, what are the attitudes here? What is reflected in him? What do I see in this man, this God man, that tells me about the Father? Because I don't know about you, but I want to know my Father. I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him.
Come on.
I don't want to just know about him like I know about LeBron James, right? I know a lot about LeBron James. I don't know LeBron James personally. You know, I can't get him on his cell phone. Yeah. And a lot of people know a lot about God. And I've been one of those in my life. Without the intimacy.
Come on.
Why? Because I don't think I completely understood that that's who he was. That from the beginning in the garden, that was his plan. That's what it's all about. Jesus never came to found a religion. That's man-made. That's what people do. He came to establish relationship. And this is what it's all about. What we focus on, we will become. Our ideas have consequences, good and bad. We will become what we like to talk about. And, you know, we were walking this week, one of our 3-mile walks, and just chatting about what is God saying and doing, that kind of thing. And Sarah was using the analogy about birthing a child, you know. And as you know, we've had a little bit of experience with that. Well, she has. I haven't, but, you know, I've been along for the ride. I was there. About birthing a child, and that, you know, as you go through the 9 months of pregnancy and everything, as a woman, you know the baby's coming. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, this baby's coming. And in transition, I think Sarah would have liked to put the baby back. Like, oh, I can't do this. But she was just saying, but the thing is, for every mother, God has designed you for this. Yeah. You were born for this. Yeah. You were made for this. Yeah. He created the human body to go through this process, and the baby is coming.
Come on.
And this is what God's saying to us this year. Is that you were made for this.
Yeah.
You were born for this.
Come on.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you a chip off the old block. I'm almost done. You a chip off the old block. You see, because whatever your daddy's like is you.
Come on.
You got to remember that everything about God is relational rather than legal. His nature and his attributes originate from the fact that he's a father, perfect in his nature. Therefore, as sons, daughters, created in our father's image, we a chip off the old block. God's speaking multiplication this year. I've already said this. There will be a lot of doing. So at the beginning of 2023, let's focus on who God is. We'll continue to ask him to show us what he is doing. But we're always going to focus on, Father, who are you? I think Sarah already did this, but just pray this prayer after me. Father,
what do you have for me
to receive today? I want to receive
all the fullness
of who you are,
what you want
to reveal to me right now. Thank you, Daddy. Amen. God's a father, number one. Oh, how he loves us. This is the cornerstone, the foundation of our faith. From the beginning, the Father desired and loved to have sons and daughters. I read this a few weeks ago, but Ephesians 1:4 says, Paul writes about this, even before he made the world, God loved. Everybody say God loved.
God loved.
God loved and he chose. He loved and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Don't just strive to be holy. Let him be holy in you. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family, to bring us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It gave him great joy. He got really happy about this in the beginning, in the garden, because he's like, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all looking at each other. We're going to have a big family, y'all. This is going to be a really big party.
Yay!
Now, I know everybody's got their family difficulties, right? And but who also has experienced a lot of joy in the family get-together? Who likes the family reunion? Who really has had a good time when the holidays come around and you see that sibling that maybe you've been away from, or that cousin, or that auntie, or you know, whatever it is, some family member? And who's ever had that family member that you always felt like you were their favorite? You know, like it's something weird, and it might be unspoken, but they always seem to center on you, or at least that's how it feels to you. You see, that's the heart of God. He created a huge family. And I recognize that many, even in this room, don't know what this means or looks like or feels like sometimes. But in 2023, you will.
Yes.
By his Spirit, ask God to teach you what the father nature of God is like.
Woo.
Some didn't have a dad. Some dads abandoned them or is aloof or, you know, whatever the case is or has passed away. Ask Father God, teach me who you are as my father. Teach me what you are like. Teach me how to know. And not to, like Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I'll send another. That's the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity that reveals the Father. The Holy Spirit allows you to know what your daddy's like, even when that hasn't necessarily been a good earthly experience for you. And I just pray that, again, like that mental and spiritual detox, that the Lord can kind of detox the bad memories, the negative connotations or thoughts, and replace them with his.
That's right.
Because he's in that business, y'all.
Yeah.
That's what God does. That's what restoration is about. That's what a son who was once on drugs and on the street, or a brother starting a new business. This is the message before the message.
Yes.
This is the testimony of what our Father is like.
Yes.
He's a father to the orphan. He's a husband to the widow. That's who our God is. He's a father. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever let someone tell you that he's something else. Now, he's many things. He is a judge. There is a day of judgment coming. And Jesus talked about judgment, but it was through the lens of a father. He didn't say, well, if you've seen me, Thomas, you've seen the judge. He didn't say that. No, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Come on.
So the Father, I would like to submit to you humbly that the Father is primary in our understanding of God.
Yeah.
It's called our theology. The Father is primary. God the judge is a part of his nature. It comes, it fits into that. Just like God being having wrath or anger, like I illustrated earlier with the story about Jesus. In a similar way, even God as judge is filtered through God as Father.
So good.
It's the original blessing of Genesis 1. Number two, God is creator. We already talked about this.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I think it's cool that God created the heavens and the earth. It's not just the sky and stars, but he created the heavenly realm. He created a spiritual, usually unseen world called the kingdom of heaven that's all around us. In the beginning, God created for us a heaven and an earth. Isn't that awesome? And if your papa's a creator, then you're a creator as well. Even your very words shape your world. They create thought patterns and spiritual climates. We've already gone into this, but let me read this again in my journal. There are creative ideas, especially in your sphere as a nurse, a teacher, in IT, a college student, or a parent, where your father has creative ideas for you to discover.
Yeah.
When I watch my 11-year-old daughter play with her neighbor friend, creating different things, I see the nature of God.
Yeah.
When I watch my 20-year-old son running his golden doodle business, I see creativity.
Yeah.
When I see my 22-year-old son on his marketing and media and his drone footage, I see creativity. I'm just picking on my children, you know, because they're mine. And not to leave anybody out, Ben, Anna Grace in the garden. You know, all of these things, because it speaks to you as a parent, because they're chips off the old block.
Yeah.
Out of their creativity, Gabe and I were talking about identity statements this week. I think it was last week. And anyway, I won't go into them exactly, but as we were kind of identifying his, I was like, well, isn't that interesting? That sounds a lot like me. Mm. And the Lord said, yeah, there's a reason for that. That's not an accident. And as you look at the attributes of God, you need to realize that's just exactly what you're like. Why do I feel a creativity, you might say to yourself? Simple, because your dad is the creator.
Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
He spoke and the world came into existence. Number three. Oh, wait, before I move on from that, I was thinking about GWC. You know who GWC is? George Washington Carver. One of my favorite men in history. But think about this. Formerly a slave, he lived during the era where he gained his freedom, became a professor at Tuskegee Institute with Booker T. Washington. And there was a need. There's a lot of needs, but one of the primary needs is, what do I do with all these men coming out of slavery that don't know what they're supposed to do? They need to earn a living for their families and such. And so George Washington Carver, in addition to having a powerful healing anointing, by the way, I got to give my dad, Dr. Bollinger, some credit for educating me on his spiritual heritage. But he was a scientist. And so they were growing peanuts. And he took this peanut, this simple little legume. And here's my favorite quote of George Washington Carver. If you love something enough, it'll reveal its secrets.
Woo.
If you love something enough, it'll reveal its secrets to you. Now, George loved God. But notice he didn't just say, if you love God enough, he'll reveal his secrets. That's true. But the lesser includes the greater.
Yeah.
If you love a peanut, who loves a peanut? I mean, everybody loves peanut butter and jelly. I'm not talking about that, but you got peanut butter and jelly because of GWC.
That's right.
Wow. If you love it enough, and guess what? You can Google it. He came up with over 200. Not two, not 20. 200 real uses for a daggum peanut. I mean, so again, don't put it into, well, there's church and the spiritual, and then there's my job and the sacred.
Yes.
No, those are one and the same.
Yeah.
You're a minister of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God lives in you.
Come on.
Yes.
So whatever it is that you do, it comes out of who you are called to be.
Let's
as
go.
A child of God. And GWC was exactly that.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Whew. Okay, we almost done. So, number one, God's a father. He's a creator. Number three, God is eternal. God is eternal. In the beginning, the Word already existed in John 1. John is a gospel about the life and ministry of Christ, but it also begins with Genesis, a Genesis account. I love that part about his recollection or his writing. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. That's our call, is life and light. Life and light. In another passage in John's account, John 8, 57, the people said to Jesus, "You aren't even 50 years old yet. How can you say you have seen Abraham?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am." You see, Jesus, again, is the perfect representation of God. Therefore, God has always existed and always will. How does that apply to you? You'll never die. That's good news. There is no death in Christ. Christ defeated the grave. You are an eternal being. You will always exist. And therefore death does not have any hold on you. There is no death. You will never die. This is good news for 2023, because if death can't touch me, then what can? If the greatest fear of humanity, and I understand too, because of the unknown, is the fear of death, what if Father got rid of that in us? It seemed to be the case in the first century church, if you'll notice. If you just read the book of Acts, they seem to kind of have dealt with it. Because they kind of considered it like an honor, you know, or something. I'm not saying I have that figured out, because we're all human beings. So I'm sure there was that human element in it. But I believe that in eternity, see, one thing that I've learned too is that when we go to heaven after we graduate or after we're burst into eternity, it's not like we're just going on a permanent Bahamas vacation. I'm not saying it's not going to be beautiful and wonderful. And it's not a place of eternal rest. But there's a job to do. Like, we'll never stop being who we are. There is something that God has called us to do. And I don't have this all worked out. I don't know what it is and I don't know what it looks like. But I'm excited about it. Because we will never come to the end of our Father. And that, I think, is an essential piece of understanding what God is like, is that God is in this for the long haul. Sometimes like 5 years or 10 years just seems like an eternity to us. It just seems like forever. And we just think about our lifespan. You know, I'm approaching, not there yet, but I'm approaching the big 5-0. Right? And as you, I know, right? That doesn't make sense. How can that be?
You got 49 first.
Yeah, that's right. I'm actually getting ready to turn 49. So my wife always reminds me not to be in a hurry. But how many know when you're 49, you just feel like 50's knocking on the door? But as you look at 50 years, you're just like, wow, life really is a mist. It really is a wind. But then my daddy reminds me, but that's just the start, Matthew.
Yeah.
You're just getting started.
Right.
Not just like I live to my 120 or whatever like that. But when I'm birthed out of this womb we call the earth into eternity, man, the best is yet to come.
That's right.
Why is that important? Because, see, I think George Washington Carver had an eternal perspective. He could see his people who came out of very difficult circumstances, like looking for a new way. And he could see 100 years beyond himself. He could see us sitting here. He could see beyond a century, 2 centuries.
Yeah.
You see, we got to have like a 100-year vision for our life, or a 200-year vision for our life. What do you want your inheritance to be?
Yeah.
Because this is part of what God wants to do. Finally, and I don't have time to go into this, but God is unchanging.
Yet, he changes in relationship with his children.
Anna Grace ran up to me today. Dad, can I get Starbucks? Ben's going to Starbucks. No. But guess what? I changed my mind. All right, go ahead. Here's the card. Oh, I got to pay you back. Let's get some Starbucks. What parent hasn't changed your mind? You see, God the Father is a father, a good, good father on the timeline with you. If we mess up plan A, he's got a plan B. C, D, E, and all the way to triple Z. God is unchanging in his nature, yet his heart and his plans for you are changeable. They're tweakable. Yeah. They go on. This isn't formulaic. This is relational. God wants to hear your heart. He cares about your desires and your prayers. He knows your thoughts, yes, but he wants to hear them from you. Amen. Because sometimes I think it's taught as in a way like, well, God's already made up his mind. There's just nothing you can do about it. Well, what if I just married the wrong person? Sorry. Yeah, that's it for you. You married the wrong person. No, listen, God is bigger than that.
Amen.
God has a plan. Yes, he knows what he's doing. But he's in it with you. He's eternal, yet he's on the timeline with us. He walks along with us. God is a father. God is a creator. God is eternal. And God is immutable or unchanging. Yet he changes with his children. He hears us. You guys stand with me. I want to pray that as you just meditate on these characteristics, these natures of God, and learn about being, that God will continually transform us into his likeness. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So Jesus, we just thank you for all that you are in our lives.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you, God. And right now I pray for those who can't sleep, who are like Jamar's testimony, who are just hampered by sleeplessness or anxiety. Lord, we just ask you to come. Raise your hand if that's you. You're just like, man, I've just been having a terrible time. Because, you know, in the Bible, the day actually starts at sundown, not when the sun comes up.
Amen.
Like God's day, he says, the Lord gives us sleep. Amen. So, Lord, you see these hands and you see one around, you just reach out towards them, put a hand on their shoulder. We just ask you, Lord, to reset their biological clock.
Yeah.
Lord, we just command your angels to take charge over them.
Yes.
And release sweet, sweet rest.
Yes.
Lord, sweet sleep, God.
Yes.
God, your word says that we will both lie down and sleep because you alone. We will lie down in peace because you alone.
I will lie down in peace and sleep.
I will lie down in peace and sleep.
For you alone, O Lord, make us dwell in safety.
Because you alone, O Lord, make us dwell in safety. Thank you, Jesus. So yeah, we just speak to that. We just declare rest right now. Right now. Right now. Thank you, God. And Lord, let your peace replace anxiety.
Yeah.
Lord, we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So, Lord, we just break off anxiety, fear right now. Lord, for those of us who are attacked by that dread to start the day, God, we say no. God, you are giving us a good day. It's going to be a good day today, Lord. It's been a good day. It's going to be a good day tomorrow, Lord. And Father, I just ask you to take each person up in your arms. God, let us just see the way you see. Let us feel your love, your patience, your compassion, your loving kindness. We just thank you and we bless you today. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Love you all. Bless you. Thanks for being part of the family. Coming to the party. Be blessed. Have a great week. Yeah, come on.
This is like a hurry.